Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I am your host, as always, Kyle, and today we will be diving into our weekly review. A lot of good games this weekend. Got back to some record-setting stuff this weekend, so let's dive right back into it. So we'll start with our first game. We had Alderson Broaddus visiting St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas Stack won that game 37-0. My player of the game for that game is senior defensive end Tyreek Smith, who finished the afternoon with 16 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, and 3.5 sacks. So Stack and Alderson Broaddus were both winless before this game. Again, Stack came away with the win for their first win of the season. Stack had a very well-balanced attack. Proved to be too much for Alderson Broaddus. Freshman quarterback Dennis Rohrdan had a very efficient day. He finished with 183 yards in the air and 4 touchdowns. No interceptions, which is a big change from his last outing against Caldwell. So it's nice to see the young quarterback get his feet under him and, you know, begin to improve, you know, which is what you hope for when you have a young quarterback, you know, while also understanding there are going to be some ups and downs, you know, with their decision-making and their accuracy. But young quarterback seems to have shaken that off for the time being and got right back to being an accurate passer of the football. The rushing attack was a well-balanced multiple-back system. 4 or 5 guys contributed to 122 yards on the ground. Junior wide receiver Micaiah Matthews was the leading receiver on the day. He had 3 receptions, 74 yards, and a touchdown. Other star receiver, freshman wide receiver, Hassan Blankney, also chipped in 45 yards. Those two continue to be the catalyst for the St. Thomas Aquinas offense. And any defense looking to slow down Stack is going to have to key in on both of those young, talented wide receivers. Now, despite 37 points, the stars of the day were undoubtedly some of these defensive players for Stack. They pitched their first shutout in program history. First time ever they held an opponent to 0 points. And again, without a doubt, the star of the day was senior defensive end Tyreek Smith. His 16 tackles ties him for the 5th most in CSFL history. Undoubtedly the most tackles in a game in St. Thomas Aquinas history. And his 7 tackles for loss ties him for the most tackles for loss in a single game in CSFL history. Absolutely amazing, absolutely breathtaking. One of the single greatest individual defensive performances in league history. That 7 tackles for loss is also the most in Stack single game history. But for the senior, and then he also had 3.5 sacks, which is good for I believe either 4th or 5th in CSFL history, and undoubtedly is probably the most there in St. Thomas Aquinas history as well. I'd have to fact check that. But for the, you know, the young man to, you know, only have that spring game last year against Caldwell, which Stack lost, to come into this year as one of the only veteran players on the program, one of the only veteran players in the team, also was there from their inaugural season at St. Thomas Aquinas in, I believe, 2018. For that young man to have a performance like that, contribute to a shutout, have the most sacks on his team in the day, and come out of that game with one of the most individually dominant performances in spring football history is absolutely amazing. And, you know, big ups to Tyreek Smith for going out there, leaving it all on the field. Had some other guys contribute to the dominance on the day. Freshman safety Ryan Kenny and sophomore linebacker Christopher Jones combined for 15 tackles and 2 tackles for losses. I really like Christopher Jones in his game. He had a couple big hits in the game too. A lot of big special teams hits going in Stack's favor, you know, on like kickoff and punt, things like that. So they were really out there flying around, imposing their will on a young Alderson Broaddus team. Stack stays home next week for the 2nd straight week as they welcome Mansfield to New York for the first time, I believe. I believe that is the first time Mansfield is going there. I could be wrong on that, but I think that's the first time they're heading there. The struggles for AB continue up front. they're just going through a lot of growing pains with a lot of young offensive linemen on a very young team. Again, to give up that many sacks, you're not going to consistently win football games. So the first thing on their agenda has to be shoring up that offensive line by, you know, any means necessary. Freshman running back Willie Hooper did manage to run for 74 yards, which is, you know, a high total, most in the game. But as a team, they were held to negative 42 total rushing yards. Quarterback Timmy Tillman continues to show me that he is a winning caliber quarterback. When you look at the throws, when you look at the decision making, when you look at the arm talent, it's there. It's there. It's just not much around him in terms of things that are going to be indicative of him being successful. They also did not have their leading receiver, Shamon Gennis, in the game. So that only, you know, worsened things for the Outerson Brodus offense. But to give up 11 sacks, nine of which were on Tillman, isn't, you know, going to be a recipe for success moving forward whatsoever. Again, they just have to get that offensive line shored up if they hope to have any success this season. They're only going to see, you know, there are a few DNs who are absolutely dominant in the league, a lot of interior guys, and some very, very good pass rushing backers. So they're going to need to get the offensive line shored up if they hope to have any type of success for the rest of this year. A bunch of bad snaps, special team snaps, didn't help them out at all. Gave Stack good field position, you know, quite a few times in the game. Freshman defensive back Braden Knoop, he led the way for AB. He had six solo tackles and two pass breakups as one of the only bright spots for the Outerson Brodus defense. AB heads back home next week as they welcome Navy to West Virginia. Next up, we have our Mansfield versus Chestnut Hill game. Mansfield won this game 31-14. My player of the game is Kasid Raymond, who finished with 150 passing yards, two touchdowns, and 124 rushing yards with a touchdown as well. Mansfield hit the road for the first time this season, and they came out with the W. It's the first time they beat Chestnut Hill in their last two meetings. So I believe the series is now tied up 3-3, if I'm doing that math right off the top of my head. Another strong outing from Kasid, you know, propelled them to the win. By now, if you haven't seen it, you should go check it out. It's being, you know, promoted on Mansfield's social media pages. I've retweeted some stuff as well. And I believe the official league sprint football CSFL site retweeted some stuff as well. But there was a run, start the third quarter off. Maybe I've been around sprint football for going on 7 years now. 4 years as a player, covered the league right after I was gone. That would have been year five. Last year, with little football we did have, I covered, that would have been year six. So this is going on season seven, even if it's not, you know, calendar year seven. So seven seasons I've been involved in sprint football. I had to chase guys like Rob Puanulo around, who's a Cornell great, Eddie Jenkins, who's the most prolific rushing quarterback in league history, Nick Dearding, who is a absolute stud at quarterback for Navy, Braden Schmiel, who could run. That was never a question. He could run. Brendan Coleman was a guy they had there, a quarterback who could run as well. I have personally seen, chased, or tackled maybe some of the most electrifying athletes at the quarterback position in the last, you know, 5 years, 6 years of CSFL sprint football. And when I say that was maybe the best run I have ever seen from a quarterback, it was mind-boggling. It's one of the most electrifying plays I've ever personally witnessed, and one of the most electrifying plays I've ever seen in terms of footage, tape, anything like that. So if you haven't checked it out yet, go check it out. You won't be disappointed. Big ups. It was one of the best individual efforts I've ever seen a quarterback, you know, display in sprint football history. And that was to start the third quarter. Once they got that touchdown, the game was pretty much cemented, even though Chestnut Hill did get on the board later. Strong performance from the offensive line. allowed Raymond to, you know, not only run the ball, but find a lot of receivers down the field. He at least seven players had recorded at least one reception. So very, very good at distributing the ball. Defensively, the defense was not to be outdone. You know, not only holding Chestnut Hill to 14 points, but caused a lot of turnovers. They finished with four interceptions on the night, and I believe one or two fumble recoveries as well. Senior safety Kayan Berger led the way with two interceptions, and his versatility was put on the spotlight. Finished with six tackles, a tackle for loss, and a sack, along with those two interceptions. So the converted defensive end is absolutely shining as a safety. Just goes to show the versatility of some of the players in this league. You know, for him to be a defensive end, I believe every year he was there, maybe not his freshman year, but the last 2 years predominantly he was a defensive end. All league players that for the league as well. Even though he wasn't a all-league defensive end for the CSFL Hub, he was very, very talented. And I think he's much more naturally a defensive back, which goes to show, you know, how versatile he has been as an individual player and how much he means to the Mountie defense. Junior linebacker Cade Showers also had a day. Finished with 11 tackles and two tackles for loss. Mansfield hits the road again, as I said earlier, to head to New York to play Stack as they look to continue their successful season and get back on track, hopefully to string, you know, two game winning streak together. So Chestnut Hill drops their second straight game. The Griffins made a change at quarterback that ultimately, you know, despite what little success there was, they did not get the win. Freshman Connor Roerbeck got his first start of the season. He finished with 169 passing yards and two rushing touchdowns. But again, he threw for four interceptions. The young quarterback struggled for the entire night. What success the Griffins did have was mostly on the ground. Freshman running back Ira Bain showed a lot of promise. He finished with 77 rushing yards, and freshman Anthony Broderick, who scored, I believe, one or two touchdowns in their opening game, had his best game since week one, adding 40 rushing yards on the ground. The Griffins did finish with 114 rushing yards as a team. Freshman wide receiver Brandon Moye led the Griffins in receiving yards with 71 yards on six receptions. He's continuing to show that he is a jitterbug. He's a fast, elusive guy. Also had one or two big returns as a kick returner as well. Junior linebacker Luke Antis. I'm sorry, Luke. I'm not going to even try and pronounce that. He finished the day. Oh, him and junior defensive back Ryan Jakeman combined for 18 tackles, a tackle for loss, and a sack. The two hard-hitting guys on that second level did what they could to affect, you know, the Mansfield offense, and to combine did, you know, have an impact on the night. Chestnut Hill hits the road next week to visit Caldwell in New Jersey. And we get to our next game. We got Cornell versus Caldwell. Caldwell won that game 32-12. My player of the game for that game is junior quarterback Frank DeMio. Finished with 181 passing yards and 66 rushing yards. Caldwell traveled to Ithaca and got their first win against Cornell in program history. Junior quarterback Frank DeMio, you know, continues to be the catalyst for that offense. As I said, he's my player of the game. 181 passing yards, a tutty, and 66 rushing yards. The combined efforts of DeMio and all of their stable of running backs accumulated 213 yards on the ground. Junior wide receiver Jeremy Colon was the leading receiver on the night. He finished with three receptions and 84 yards. Senior linebacker Anthony Guerrero finished with career-high 10 tackles, and junior defensive lineman Michael Lorman had a dominant day up front, finishing with seven tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, and one sack. Lorman had what was probably the best game of his young Caldwell career thus far. Ultimately, it was just a very, very dominant team win. And again, that was Caldwell's first victory over Cornell in program history. Again, Caldwell heads back home next week as they welcome Chestnut Hill. Despite the loss, Cornell did have their most productive game of the year. The passing attack had its best game of the year without a doubt. Junior quarterback Xavier Martinez threw for a career high 231 yards and 2 touchdowns. The rushing attack continues to be non-existent, finishing with negative 20 rushing yards as a team. That being held to such low rushing totals quickly made Cornell one-dimensional, and Caldwell just keyed in on that. The brightest spot for the offense has been, or at least this game, was freshman Evan Nichols, who is shown to be their most versatile and impactful offensive weapon. The converted quarterback finished with 12 rushing yards, 5 receptions, 104 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns. This was Nichols' first 100-yard game, receiving game at least, and his first touchdowns of his college career. The converted quarterback has shown and continues a history of guys who have come up there to play quarterback and ultimately either because they are needed elsewhere or they aren't as good as the quarterback who's ahead of them, so they change position. But it's very, very reminiscent of Will Griffin, who got up there, was playing behind a Rob Polinulo at the time. So he was too talented to just be sitting there, so they had him do some scat back things, some slot receiver things, some returner things. So quarterback still may be his future, who knows? But for the time being, it appears he's going to be that multi-purpose, that athlete type of player, and he's shining in that role thus far. Defensively, Cornell was led by senior linebacker Matt Peck. He had 11 tackles on the day, and junior DB Nate Roy had his best game of the season. He had 8 tackles and 2.5 tackles for loss. Cornell hits the road next week, heads down to Philadelphia to take on their Ivy League rival, Penn. Last game, we had Army versus Navy. Navy won this one 14-6. My player of the game is junior linebacker Paul Kuehler. He finished with 8 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and a sack and a half. Navy came out on top in this one. Very, very tight defensive battle. You see a one possession, one score game. Sophomore quarterback Brandon Atwood continues to show how dominant he can be at the quarterback position. The very pedestrian numbers, again, it was a defensive battle, 121 yards, 1 touchdown. Did throw 2 interceptions, but again, Atwood is the best pure quarterback Navy's had in quite some time, since probably a Nick Dearding. So every time I get to see the young man play, or every time I get to see, you know, the fruits of his labor, makes me very, very excited for them, because they haven't had someone who could throw the ball like this accurately. Again, since Nick Dearding in what would have been 2016, and it's 2021. So he's definitely the best passer of the football they had in many, many moons. So makes that Navy offense all the more dangerous, because, you know, they are going to be able to run the ball. Now they're not so one-dimensional. Navy senior running back Matthew McGee was in for a long night. They knew that before they got there. Had 20 odd-some carries. You know, not his highest yardage total in his career, but, you know, 50 yards and a touchdown in the fourth to help seal the game. Very, very impactful as a lead back. You know, when you're going to play a good defense, obviously, you know, you might not have the yardage totals that you're accustomed to, but for him to just run hard and get that many touches as, you know, undoubtedly they're probably their best offensive player. I know he's more than happy with his, you know, performance in that game. And again, scoring a touchdown in the fourth to help steal the game, you know, is something he'll probably always remember. Junior tight end Jake Smith continues to show his talent. He was the leading receiver in the game, finished with 5 receptions and 62 yards. And coming from that tight end position, which is historically a weak position across the entire league, there have not been a lot of dominant tight ends in the league's history. Most tight ends throughout the league on all of the teams are glorified, you know, tackles, glorified blockers. Very rarely do you have guys who can be legitimate receiving threats while also, you know, not forgetting their duties in terms of helping the run game and the pass game in terms of blocking. You really only have guys like a Joey Buck from Mansfield. Ben Klaus has been a good tight end since he's gotten to the league at Penn. And then outside of that, it starts getting really, really slim. You have guys who, you know, made all-league teams, but they were blockers. You know, that's one-dimensional players. Jake Smith has proven he's a two-dimensional player, you know, able to be, you know, their second most dangerous receiving threat and, you know, one of their best blockers as well. So he continues to prove himself and show that he is one of the better tight ends in the league and one of the better tight ends to play at Navy in quite some time as well. Despite all that praise I just gave the offense, the defense was without a doubt the reason for the victory on the day. They held Army, the Army offense scoreless. 6 points from Army came from field goals. But they held the Army offense to 0 points. They also held the Army offense to negative 10 rushing yards. And they finished with 8 sacks on the day. Again, Prawl Crueler was my player of the game. He had a dominant day. 8 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks. And right behind him was senior linebacker Mike Garrett, held down the middle. He had 7 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 sack. Just a dominant day from the defense. Sacks all over the board from a lot of different guys. A lot of different tackles all over the board, but those two definitely were the most impactful defensive players of the day. Again, next week, Navy hits the road again, second week in a row, to take on Alderson Broaddus. Army had a lot of pressure coming their way for the entire game. Despite giving up the 8 sacks, senior quarterback J.C. Watson did have an impressive outing. He finished with 191 yards through the air. But again, the running game was completely shut down. So Watson, you know, the load was on his back most of the game in terms of him having to throw the ball. Senior wide receiver Craig Hamilton was the leading receiver on the day for Army. He had 5 receptions for 72 yards. And again, despite, you know, ultimately losing the game, the Army defense did show up. Senior linebacker David Dickerson and sophomore linebacker Luke Gigliotti had 14 tackles apiece and 3 tackles for loss between the two of them. Dickerson continues to be one of the most dominant linebackers in the league this season. And Gigliotti continues to show that despite his youth, he's one of the better linebackers in the league as well. A lot of successful football coming his way as he continues to mature as a backer. But those two combined continue just to terrorize offenses week in, week out. Both of them should be, you know, key focal points of an offense when they're game planning against this Army defense. Because if you don't get those two shored up, you're going to be in for a long night. And again, despite the loss, 14 tackles apiece is absolutely incredible. That's like 1/3 of the tackles the entire team got was just between those two guys. So those two should be proud of their performances despite the loss, and they'll look to lead Army's defense as they look to bounce back after this bye week. And yeah, like I just mentioned, Army has a bye week this week, and then after that they will head to Mansfield for their final 4 games. They're all going to be CSFL North matchups, starting with Mansfield after their bye. So that was a quickie this week, week 3 review. A lot of good games, a lot of good ball, some record-breaking stuff, some electrifying stuff as well. Good wins all around. A lot of improvement all around, too, for the teams that did not manage to win this past weekend. So, as always, I am your host, Kyle. Thank you for joining me on the CSFL Hub podcast. Catch you guys in week 4. Peace.